grace, mercy, and peace be unto you all. The text is the gospel lesson, and Jesus is moving toward Jerusalem. What this means is that he set himself to go to the end. He's now moving toward the cross. He's now moving toward that last judgment. He's now moving toward his death. And he's not stopping and understanding that things get in his way. And somebody comes to him, and some of the commentators say, actually it was one of his disciples that said, "Lord, will those who are saved be few?" And he doesn't really answer it. He kind of throws something at him and says, "You better be careful of what you do. Try to enter by the narrow gate, because that's where it's at. There'll be a lot of them that'll try to go through the easy way, and they won't get there. So pay attention." How many will be saved? Good question. I suppose that's still a question for some people today. Are certain people going to be and other people not? Some people may be surprised when they get there to find out, one, who's there, and two, who's not there. That may be the biggest surprise of all. I guess the point Jesus was making was make sure that we are, because make sure that we understand what he's done for us and what he intends to have us hear and see. The forgiveness of our sins grants us the possibility of eternal life. That's what we call heaven. That's what is meant by being saved. Is it something that we do ourselves? Is it something that we have affected by the things we do or don't do? Not even close. It's strictly God's grace and God's care. He makes it possible for us to believe. He makes it possible for us to accept his gift. And then he gives us the strength through the Holy Spirit to live in it. So who's going to be saved? And how many are there anyway? And can we predict who they're going to be? I don't think so. We try to think that probably that one day we will see people that we remembered, people who went before us. They got there before we did. They're the people we remember when we go to funerals. Seems like anymore we see an awful lot of those. More of those than anything else. Don't see many baptisms, but we see a lot of funerals. And that reminds us that we're not permanent. We're really not going to last forever. We've got an out date, even if we don't know what it is. And as somebody said, life is a terminal disease and nobody gets out alive. So the time will come when we will no longer be here. We wish that we will be with him. We wish that we will receive the forgiveness of our sins and the grace of eternal life. So why was it that this person was so concerned about would the number be few? Maybe the question is not so much will the number be few as will I be part of the number that's accepted? And if I am or if I'm not, what can I do either way to make it so I am? And he said, well, enter by the narrow door. One of the commentators said, what he's really saying to these people is if you're going to get there, you got to get rid of that baggage that you're hauling along. You got to get rid of those sins that you can't seem to loosen up with because they're just so much fun that it's hard to get rid of them. You got to get rid of all that stuff that gets in your way if you're going through the narrow door. And the narrow door is the access to God and to everlasting life. So I don't know whether this disciple, if that's who it was, got the answer he was looking for or if the answer even helped him. It didn't give him a number. Sure, it didn't give him any names. It didn't necessarily give him a lot of hope. It made him responsible to a certain extent for what was going to happen to him. Was he going to give up on the stuff that maybe he liked really well in order to become those who were saved? Was he going to give up enough baggage to get through the narrow door or not? Or was he going to try to do it on his own? Because there's two versions of who's saved. One, those that God decides to save, and the others who try to save themselves. There will always be both. Those who believe that God does what he promises, that he forgives sins and grants eternal life to his people. Then there's the other side, who think that they're so good that it's impossible that God would not consider them actually before all those other nasty sinners and would take them first. Well, it's the ones who believe that God cares enough no matter what, that he forgives our sins, that he makes us one with him, and then he gives us things to remember it: baptism, water, word, Holy Communion, bread and wine, the body and blood of Jesus Christ, given to strengthen our faith so that we know that what's here is not all of what's going on. There's more coming. It's better. There was a lady that we buried here a number of years ago when I was here the first time, and she had what was called a near-death experience. She had almost died, and she said she saw something, and what she saw was great. Then she came back, and she says, "Now what I want to do is I want to die. My family wants me to live. I want to die because I saw what I thought was the greatest thing I have ever seen, and I want to be part of it, and I can't be part of it here." So the promise is, we're part of it, accept it, believe it, treasure it, and look forward to it, no matter what this life brings. It's shadow by comparison of what will be and what he has for us. So who will be saved? Those who God accepts. Those who God gives the ability to believe that his gift is for us and accept that gift and rejoice in it. Go in peace. Enjoy your salvation with the hope that comes from belief in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.